Hello and welcome to Null Signal Station, the home of Null Signal Games. My name's Ed, he, him, and thank you so much for joining us on what, for me, is the most exciting time of the year. It's preview season. Folks, you've been waiting for this. It's RWR preview season scoops episode from Null Signal Station. And we are joined by two people in the community who have an inside view of the cards, what's going on, and a few extra scoops that you might not have been expecting. Well, it gives me the greatest of pleasure to welcome our preview season guest. How many preview seasons have you worked on, Mike?
Every single one, ever since 2019, was downfall.
By me. So
me and Serenity, exclusively. Hi, I'm Mike, pronouns he, him. I've been the interim community manager, incidentally, ever since Spencer had a baby and got very, very busy.
Mike, thanks ever so much for joining. So I'll give a bit of background to the folks listening at home. When I mentioned that you might come on the show to do some scoops for yourself, you were quite excited by that prospect, weren't you?
Well, to be honest, I always considered myself as the ultimate scoopster because I send the scoops to the people revealing the scoops. So, but this is a first for me, like actually... talking about new cards myself.
And we're also joined today by Ginevra from the show.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm really good. Ginevra, it's been a while.
Yes, definitely. Just for the listeners, my pronouns are preferred they, but she is okay.
And I'm he, him. And... So, I guess, like, I'd like to do a little bit with Mike before I look at the cards. Full disclosure, I have not seen the cards that we're talking about today. So, I'm very excited. Yeah. And I'm, like, Christmas Eve. I've woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I really want to go downstairs to see what's in my stocking. But first, I'm going to have a chat with Mike. So, Mike, could you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, I joined Null Signal Games back in October 2018. Oh, my God, that sounds like ages ago now. I was brought on by Serenity, who was the community manager at the time, to work with content creators from the community, basically, which at the time also involved setting up streams before we had a very talented and well-staffed streaming team, but also to organize external coverage of previews. And I was also on the... balance team, which was still called the MWL committee at the time.
Cool. So your first preview season, when was that, would you say?
Oh, that would be early 2019. I think exactly 5 years ago.
Gosh.
As we're recording this.
I mean, now, that's literally before officially I started playing the game.
Wow.
Yes. And before I started playing the game also, yeah.
Officially. Yeah. So
or at
I
all.
Very vividly recall when the feeling of, wow, we're really making the Netrun and this game is still actually really going. It's not dead. When Andre's previews came up on the Metropole Grid, and he had printed proxies of all the cards I sent him and played a Meat Space game with Patrick on stream. And seeing the cards printed out for the first time was a really chills-inducing moment for me.
Did you shed a tear? I won't judge.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I can believe that, honestly.
I was pretty excited.
Yeah, I can believe that. So what's your, like, Netrunner background then, Mike?
Well, I first tried the game with a friend of mine who was a really hardcore Game of Thrones player. The first edition of Game of Thrones by Fantasy Flight. So he bought the core set when it came out and dragged me in to try it out with him. And I completely bounced off it because neither of us knew what we were doing. But he kept at it. And after a couple of years, he dragged me back in and explained how to play it properly to me that time. And then it stuck.
Mm.
It's cool.
And you were based, I think you were based in the UK for a while, weren't you?
At the time I was living in Leeds. I didn't actually start playing with the Leeds crowd until like about almost a year later after I started playing regularly with my friend Jason, because I also spent some time back home. But I moved back to Cyprus permanently in 2017, even though up until COVID, I would still go to the odd tournament whenever I was in the UK or for work or to visit friends.
Sure.
Anyway.
How has the previous seasons, are they the same now as they were then, or has it changed?
Well, for me, it's changed because, well, for the past two, it's been more or less entirely me because I've also been the community manager. But the main thing that's changed is that we're a little more organized now with getting our cards ready to send out to people on time. So there's less rushed running around getting people their cards on time by now. And hopefully we'll get better still for future ones.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, you've done an amazing job over the last few set releases, Mike. I think preview season, wax opine, I think preview season is one of the most crucial parts of what we do. It's the way that we get people to get the most excited they will ever be about the game if they're already involved in the game. And you've done a fantastic job, Mike. So
I think you deserve a lot of credit for that as well with your epic 30 days of daily streams during the Gateway preview season. Which is, it's a feat both unprecedented and unrepeated in the history of Netrunner.
Yeah.
Do you know how tired I was by the end of that?
I could see how tired you were. We all could.
I'd love to go back and watch that, honestly. So for folks who are maybe new to the game, or, you know, this isn't a bit about me, but for System Gateway release, for some reason I decided to stream 30 days because preview season was 30 days. Mike, do not repeat that, please.
In your defense, you didn't know that we were going to take that long spoil every single card.
No, so I did 30
days. And
we're
not doing a 30-day preview season ever again, I think.
Absolutely wild. And I did 30 days continuous streaming, 1 hour streaming per day. Most streams I've ran by about 2 hours on that. There were times where I got dressed up in a suit. lots of things happened. If you want to look back at what Netrunner was like in the times we don't talk about, where everyone was online, do give me a shout and I'll link you to the videos, because it was good fun. Ginevra, you were on one of those as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
I think that might
be lots of different ones.
There was lots of different ones.
Every day.
I think those streams spawned a significant proportion of the memes in the community. we still see alt arts referencing something you said during those streams.
Yes. Cool. I don't think people are here to listen to me talk about my marathon feat. I think they're here for previews. Am I right? I'm going to open previews.
I think they're here for me.
For the first time, I'm going into the group chat. I'm scrolling up, and we're here. Card number one. Ginevra, could you give me a pronunciation guide for this one, please?
Is it Lycian multi-munition?
It's Lycian multi-munition. Thank you. So this is a 3-1 ice. It's mythic. It's a destroyer. Oh, I know this card. This is cool. Right.
So yes.
When you res this ice, choose one or more subtypes amongst Barrier, Code Gate, and Sentry. This ice gains the chosen subtypes while it remains rezzed. When a turn ends, derez this ice. And there's three subtypes. Subtype one. Subroutines. If this ice is a Code Gate, the runner loses a click and a credit. Subroutine two. If this ice is a Sentry, trash one installed program. And subroutine three, if this ice is a barrier, gain one credit and end the run. It is two influence. Ginevra, would you like to talk about this fantastic art?
Yeah. So the art is like, it has a feeling of being in a tunnel or a sonic boom or something like that behind it. There's in the center, there's some sort of a plane or drone, and there are three missiles coming from the plane or drone. One of the missiles, so it's a snake, but you can also see the missile in it. The other one is a goat, you can see the missile in it, and a lion, you can also see the missile in it. And it's got, I love how Bruno Balixia, has a, like, it's almost a frosted glass texture to the net space things. Yeah, they're really
those really tactile, like, game pieces that you want to play in your hand. Okay, so Mike, why did you choose this card?
Well, the primary reason I chose this card is because that plane looks a lot like the F-19 stealth fighter that I used to pilot when I was 12 and playing flight sim games on my PC. And the three animals look a lot like the demons that I used to kill in Doom when I was 14 playing games on my PC.
I love it. I love
it. That was me under the helmet all along, folks. Ask me anything. I fought off the Mars demon incursion.
Did we do the cost? The cost is 3 and the strength is 1 and it's mythic destroyer.
Did we read out the subroutines?
Yes.
We did. We did all of those things. But that's okay. I think it's worth repeating.
Oh, sorry.
Anything worth doing is worth doing twice. Mike, so I guess you first. Like, I reckon you play the most Netrunner of the three of us. What do you think about this card?
You'll see a theme in all the cards I picked for tonight. First of all, they're all ice, which is surprising for anyone who knows me because I love horizontal decks. I think ice is the most boring card type in the game. But I was really excited about these three pieces of ice because they're all really cool reimaginings of old cards. This one is actually a reimagining of the very first mythic ice that ever came out, which was, as Ginevra, I'm sure, knows, Chimera. Hence the three animal heads, like the mythical Chimera of Lycia, which Bellerophon killed, according to the Iliad. But what I really liked about this is that, well, for one thing, it does something a little different depending on which subtype type you pick. So if it's a code gate, you lose a click and credit. If it's essentially you thrash a program, if it's buried in the ice. But unlike Chimera, that's actually kind of a point in raising it, even if the runner can break it or can break it partially. Because if you can break it partially, if you can break one subtype, but it costs them money to get through, that might affect their ability to break subsequent ice or to trash cards they access. And if they have an AI breaker or something like a Botulus or a Boomerang, then naming all three subtypes will tax their ability to get through three different subroutines significantly. So there's actually, it's not just a gear check. There's actually a point to it, to keeping it around for a little bit, even after the runner has gained the ability to get by it. Unless they have a full rig with all three breakers, there's still something you can do with this ice. And I imagine, unless I schedule preview season very badly, that Thunderbolt Armaments, the HB ID, will have been revealed by the time this episode comes out.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, which if you're playing it out of that, it makes it even more taxing by adding an additional subroutine after it, because when you res a destroyer, you can give it an additional end run unless the runner trashes one of their installed card subroutine, as well as giving it plus one strength.
And Ginevra, I guess, is of the three of us the most competitive player. How would you see this in a Thunderbolt deck? Do you think it only sees play in Thunderbolt? Do you think it sees play elsewhere?
I'm not going to say this is a competitive point of view, but I would certainly enjoy putting it in a lot of HB decks. I'm not sure whether it will be outside HB or not. But I think just the potential during the game to trap the runner and also to change your mind, because it derezzes at the end of turn. So that to choose whichever is most awkward for the runner at the time, I think that will be very enjoyable as a player to do.
Yes.
I agree. It's a good rush piece of ice, even outside of Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
And finally, from me, who has only played PD on the corp side since 2022, in fact, I think this might be a one-off in PD.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think the ice suite in PD has got to a point where you've got a degree of flexibility and you could sneak one of these in here as a surprise. And I think it's quite good. I think it's quite a good card. I will rate this 5 out of 7. Ginevra, what's your score?
I don't think I have scores for cards until I've played them quite a bit. So, yeah.
I will rate it 1 gold, 1 lion, and 1 snake out of 1.
Fantastic scoring. Shall we move on to the next card, folks? The next card. The next one that I'm going to click. Oh, it's red. It's ice. This card is called, I don't need a pronunciation guide for this one, thank you though, Ginevra. It's called Tributary. I apologize for my pronunciation if anyone disagreed with Tributary. It's a unique ice. It's 3 to res, it's 4 strength, it's ice code gate, and the text says, the first time each turn a run begins, you may move this ice to the outmost position protecting the attacked server. Brackets. The runner is now approaching this ice. Close brackets. Subroutine. You may draw one card. You may install one piece of ice from HQ protecting another server, ignoring all costs. Subroutine. Each piece of ice gets +2 strength for the remainder of this run. It is 3 influence. Ginevra, what's your thoughts on this art?
I love it. It's by Scott Uminga, and it's like a swirl in the front, and then as you look towards the back of the swirl, you can see the teeth, and there's some two little blurry things that could be eyes. And overall, there's like a little pyramid texture underneath it. So it's all textured and swirly in the way Scott does so well. Yeah,
I love it's the almost like in cute. The background. It's like the ice,
but now I can't unsee them. It's terrifying.
Yeah, the eyes are so cool. You don't see them until you see them, and then the teeth, you don't see them until you see them. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah.
Mike, why did you choose this card?
Actually, not quite like Lysian Multimunition was a reworking of Chimera. This card, very vaguely and slightly, reminds me in a massively toned-down version of a banned Kitara cycle identity called Imti Mwekundu, which I hope I've pronounced right. That card's been banned since 2019 for a very good reason, which is that it once a turn, it allowed you to install a piece of ice from HQ just as the runner was about to approach a server. So you could be running an uniced server and suddenly you were facing an Anansi. You could be running a server protected by two Anansis and suddenly you were facing a third Anansi. Basically, every card in HQ was potentially Anansi. Because of how powerful this card was, it's been banned for a good long time now. But
I see Ginevra licking their lips there. The thought of eternal Mti.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So how does this card, I suppose let's start at the worst case scenario, right? How does this card look in Eternal Ginevra?
To be honest, sometimes I feel there's so much you can do in Eternal that like one more is like, whatever, sure, fine. I'm also thinking that this may feel from the runner side a bit like a former carry.
Yes.
Because it's allowed to, like, you think you know how many ice are on this server. No, you didn't, actually.
I've been thinking, right, I'm a little bit concerned. Ginevra, I know you're a big fan of Eternal, but the landscaping standard cannot handle Tributary plus Formicary. Mike, what are we going to do?
Well, I don't know. I think we should get on the empty phone and call up Losgeek and the Banlisk squad, see what they can do.
Have they done anything, Mike? Have they done anything about this? Have they? Have they? Please tell me they've done something about this. Please. Well,
there might be an article. There might be an article. I think it went out earlier this week on the week this
that's published. Mike, you're in charge of scheduling. You need to make sure it's banned. Please ban Formicary now.
But I'm not on the ban list team anymore. I resigned 2 years ago. And I haven't actually read the article they wrote.
Mike, you obviously don't understand your role. No one knows what the band team, the SBL, does unless you publish it. You do realize you hold all the keys, right?
Oh, no. Who put me in charge of so much? Who gave me so much power?
With great power comes great responsibility.
If anyone in here has not already read the ban list update, then don't worry. I'll go back and edit in a Formicary ban into that article.
Please ban Formicary. Please, Mike. Please, you're our only hope.
No, I'm pretty sure the balance team has already thought of it. I haven't talked to them about it, but I'm pretty sure it would have set off some alarm bells. Mm-hmm. We've been complaining about Formicary for a while. It's been on the verge of being very annoying since before I left that team. So surely they haven't left it. Still in the card pool. Still.
I guess I was going to move on, but I actually had a sensible point to make about a card, so I'm going to make it. Do you think this is potentially a return to Jinteki Glacier, like we used to see, where you can run through it, but it's going to hurt? Or, you know, does that support that kind of archetype, especially with Ataya?
Yeah, I actually really thought so, but I think even more so out of Aghanfusion, because Aghanfusion is always struggling to find enough clicks to draw the ice and install the ice and pay the install mm-hmm. cost for the mm-hmm. ice. So the first subroutine on this one is actually pretty helpful for them, and it helps you install an extra piece of ice that you use to feed to your ID ability, to trash it and boop the runner onto a different server. Then it might give it just a little bit more of a speed boost to play an actual Glacier game.
Hmm. Ginevra, any more thoughts on Tributary?
Just that I think it will be nice play. Well, it will be fun to play out of Ataya. I'm not mentioning whether it's competitive or not, I'm not making that judgment, but I think it will be fun because you're working with one server across the other server, move this and like presumably you move it to the other server, then get more ice, other server more ice. I think it'll be a lot of fun
from the Ataya ability as well whenever you
yes
from the
yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool time for if you enjoy moving ice, it's a cool time.
Yes.
Final card. Yeah. I'm seeing it. I like this one. Yeah. No, I like this one. I've seen this one before. Okay, right. Can I read this one, Ginevra, please?
Yes.
Thank you. It's an ice. It's called Capacitor. Capacitor. Is it Capacitor or Capacitor? Who knows? I'm going to call it Capacitor. And this is a 4 to rares, 3 strength ice. It's a barrier, and the text reads, while the runner is tagged, this ice gets +2 strength. Subroutine, gain 1 credit for each tag the runner has. Subroutine, end the run. The flavor text says, Sebastiel gritted his teeth as more and more indicators glowed red. Bad times for Sebastiel. And it is NBN, in case you haven't guessed. It is one influence. Ginevra, what's going on in the art?
So the art was very definitely meant to be a callback to Resistor. It's meant to be similar colours. It has that layout of computer chips in the background, and it has the cylinders of capacitors. Some of them are shorter, some of them are longer. They're green, going to yellow, orange, and the taller ones are glowing red. In story-wise, with increasing numbers of tags and different people tagged at different amounts. So, yeah. and like everyone is putting their head on the side to have a look.
Yeah, we're all going sideways to see
To read the artist's name properly, and I'd like to give them a shout out for coming around my house and photographing my motherboard last time I overclocked my PC, because that's how Reddit glowed back then too.
Mike, why did you choose this piece of ice?
I chose this piece of ice because it's kind of a combination of three pieces of ice that have all rotated. Like when you look at it, like the name, first of all, evokes a classic resistor ice that Ginevra mentioned, which was a zero cost, zero strength barrier from Data and Destiny, which gained plus one strength for each tag the runner had. I have fond memories of games where it went up to double digit strength up until I realized that, you know, if I actually want to keep the runner out, I would need to siphon myself boosting the trace because its only subroutine was trace four in the run. So unless you had infinite money and were prepared to pay into the trace enough to keep them out every single time, they could still get through.
But mercifully, this one does not have traces, so don't worry.
It does not have traces, but it doesn't scale infinitely either.
Yeah.
It only gains plus two strength, which is still pretty respectable. I mean, two subs, five strength for four res cost is pretty good. And once the runner has a lot of tags, they can't only break the second subroutine either. They have to worry about the first one, because otherwise they're giving you a lot of money. So, like, if the runner is untagged, this is a slightly worse wall of static. But as soon as they gain even one tag, it becomes pretty reasonably taxing, I think. It becomes almost as good as IP block, I would say. Another recently rotated.
Am I allowed to have, like, a professional meta Netrunner tag? Just like, it's my one for the evening, please. Think this card's good in outfit. I think this card absolutely slaps in outfit. I think you can do rush outfit with Oppo tag, and this card is absolutely horrible. You can rush behind it quite nicely.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying it, people that actually know how to play Netrunner?
Who knows?
I think so. No,
like, it's one influence.
Even with a bad pub or two, a strength fire ice is pretty taxing to break in the early game.
Mm-hmm.
For the runner, and if you have a ping or a fun house in front of it, then the first subroutine will also do something. They can't afford to ignore it, so they can't just use a botulist counter to break the second sub and call it a day.
Folks, like, ping plus capacitor is a sixth influence doom rig in outfit. Honestly, you're gonna be rushing out those above the laws like you would not believe. It's gonna be great.
Wait, you have above the laws?
Hey. When I play Netrunner, as vice president of engagement, I'm allowed to play the rules that I choose.
It's a good gig. It's a good gig.
Yeah. Mike, how does it feel to be able to show some cards to the community? You know, like, there's been so many times where you've been behind the scenes and now you're the one letting people know what's coming up.
Honestly, I really enjoy being behind the scenes. I feel like a little bit of like the puppet master. And I'm able to take credit for the work of people way more talented than me that, you know, are doing videos or podcasts far better than I could. But it is fun to be up in front for a change as well.
Mm. And I guess...
I know you were going to talk to us about some other ice that this makes you reminds you of. Did you want to talk about those other ice as well?
Oh, I think I mentioned them in passing, like resistor, IP block, wall of static.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And final thoughts, Mike, I guess. Across these three cards, what have we seen?
We've seen Lycian Multi-Munition, an early gear check type with some nasty optional abilities. We've seen Tributary, which is another in Jintegi's long list of tricks for shuffling ice around the board and sneaking new cards onto the board when the runner least expects it. And we've seen Capacitor, which is a pretty good barrier for punishing runners for being tagged.
Ginevra, what's your thoughts across the ice?
I think Tributary and Lycian Multi-Munition, I'm going to enjoy the movement and change possibilities. And Capacitor, I will have to learn how to land tags properly if I want to be playing that.
Whereas, like, for me, I've ignored the first two, and I'm like, Capacitor, rush, can I win the game in 8 turns? Maybe I can with this card. So it's really great that we've all kind of landed on different cards here. Mike, previews. Have you got another preview for the community?
Have I got another preview for the community?
Hey, Mike, well, is there something you need to tell folks?
Well, I heard from somewhere that you have another preview for the community in the form of a new permanent community manager to take over from
me. Take over from you is impossible, and to replace you would be even more so. However, I know that I do know that the community team lead position has been open for a while, and we're absolutely thrilled on the podcast to announce that Izzy has taken over the role of community team lead as of about a week ago. I'm sure they'll be doing some outreach stuff in the next few weeks, if not before. We're obviously recording this on the 25th of February, just to spoil everyone's illusions of us reacting to this and then posting it the day after. I think most people in NSG don't even know at this point that Izzy is community team lead, which is exciting. Mike, what would your advice be to Izzy taking over community team leader role where you've kind of had for the last year or so, if not more?
Well, I think the key thing is to stay engaged with people in the various online spaces. And the one thing that I feel I couldn't accomplish, even though I'm not leaving the org, so I can keep helping accomplish it, is to reach out to the less terminally online players, the people who only talk Netrunner during the weekly meetup, or the people who only play on the kitchen table. And they are players that I feel we really should engage with more, and I hope with Izzy's help we'll be able to make some more headway into doing that.
And I guess, Mike, we're obviously not seeing and hearing the last from you, are we?
No. I'm staying on the community team. I'll still be editing articles on the blog, posting on the social media, possibly some reposting people's cool photos of their tournaments and reacting to entertaining Netrunner puns online. So you'll definitely not be hearing less from me.
In the words of Kate Winslet in Oscar winner 1996, Titanic, Mike, I won't let go. Will you join us for the news in a moment?
I'll be happy to, yeah.
Mike, thank you for staying with us.
Not a problem.
We wanted to run over, obviously, community is your thing. So we wanted to run over the news with you, if that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds like an excellent idea.
Here's how we go, right? First of all, I have a look at what's happened over the last month. So let me tell you, some things have happened. We've had Tampere Grid Circuit Opener. We've had 401 Games Monthly Tournament. We've had Commit to Access Casual Open at Dogpatch Games in San Francisco. Check them out. Oh, the Rig Startup Circuit Opener in Reading. Be warned, Swifty and Rotage are there. We've had Glass Dice Startup. We've had the Warsaw Circuit Opener, HG 2023. Sorry, they're a bit late, but they did have 16 players. Wow. I'm actually going to click on this, if that's all right. They had 16 players in a CO, and the winner was RSH. Fantastic. On PD and on 419. 419 is the year 2019. Wow. We've also had Brisbane Netrunner Q1 Casual Tournament. That had 12 players. We had the Bristol GNK happened today. That's really cool. I was corrected by my colleagues on this call earlier. And the Bristol Standard GNK did actually happen today. Last of the quote-unquote best meta. The winner was Nikki 3.0. Congratulations, Nikki 3.0. That's where I used to live. Hence the extra shout out. And the final one from the roundup is the Sunset AMT.
Yeah.
And the winner was?
It was Dragons One Rule, which is really, really cool. I think it's one of their first tournaments. And they stayed up really late. And I don't know if you have Discord chats when people do online tournaments, but seeing them working through all the games, really, really cool and really well done.
Yeah. That's sick. That's my favorite. Like, the thing that really brought me from casually playing Netrunner to being involved in Netrunner was Worlds 2020, when I joined up with a few people while I was playing the tournament. And honestly, it brought me into the game. So,
definitely. Yeah.
Very cool. Ginevra, what's coming up?
Okay, coming up, probably by the time that everyone is listening, there's a CO in MO St. Louis. There's Italian Crown of Service, which I think is part of the kind of lead up to EMEA Continentals tournament. And especially I see there's a fly to EMEA first tournament. It's online, so everyone can join, and it's part of a fundraiser to help people get to Continentals in EMEA. That's on the 30th, and also on the 30th there's an Atomic Empire Circuit opener. And if you are missing out the standard accelerator meta test, it's coming up on the 24th, and that's with new cards, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what's particularly exciting is on the 24th of March, we've got an AMT, right? Obviously, on top of all of those news items that we've managed to seamlessly tie together. Very important announcements happened over the last month, folks. We're holding the World Championships of Netrunner in San Francisco. It's in the most beautiful hotel. I'm so excited for you all to visit it. We've got a great deal, huge space. There's like cool sensory rooms. There's food all day. There's drinks all day. There's air conditioning, Mike. There's air conditioning. Oh,
blessed air conditioning.
Yeah. But honestly, San Francisco Worlds 2024, you all know already, but I'm so hype to invite you all to San Francisco for the Netrunner World Championships 2024. Another event that I am even more excited to announce you about because I'm going to play in it. I've just committed to it. Oops. Is our 24-hour Netrunner charity stream bonanza.
Oh. Hype.
So what is it? Because I've not heard of it.
No, because I'm announcing it. And it's a little bit not my announcement to make. However, PSK has done a huge amount of work and I think the article will be up before this. We're going to do a 24-hour Netrunner stream. We are going to, for every Netrunner game that is tagged with the appropriate tag, give $2 to charity. Every game for 24 hours.
Oh, okay, so everyone streams their own game. Is that how it works?
We'll be dropping in and out of games. We may have a leaderboard. We may have some kind of ranking system. We're going to be throwing some raffles. Everyone likes a raffle. We're going to be doing 24 hours of Netrunner. And everyone that plays a game within those 24 hours on JNet, tagged in the appropriate way, we will, as Null Signal Games, donate $2 to the charity that we've nominated, which I believe is Gaza Children.
And, that's very cool.
More talk on that. We're going to be bringing in some artists, chat on the stream. We're going to bring in some old faces that you've not seen for a while, bring in some new faces as well. There's going to be a leaderboard. Like, that's important to me. That's important to everyone. Who's going to be winning over 24 hours? But we don't want to encourage people to play for the whole 24 hours, so we need to do some compensation for those that want to drop out at some point. And most of all, it's a celebration of Netrunner, and I'm so excited for Princess Space Kitten to announce their plan there.
Cool.
It's really cool.
It's good. There's going to be an excellent event. I look forward
to it. It's going to be huge. It's going to be middle of April.
And waking up to play some more.
Yeah, exactly. And I promise I will, as per Worlds 2023, I will play one game at this tournament.
One game?
I will play
only one.
One game.
Is that all you can do for charity? Is that...
Yes. All I'm doing for charity in this situation, Mike, is playing one game. That is correct. Yes. Mike, before I kick you off this podcast and never invite you back again, no, thank you ever so much, honestly. I know how excited you were to come on, and I think that's totally valid. You've done so much work for the community in terms of engagement, in terms of hype, and in terms of communicating, just on a more base level, what's going on with the organization. And without you, genuinely, I don't think we'd be where we are today. So, Mike, really, genuinely, I mean this as well. Thank you so much for your hard work.
That means a lot.
And thank you for your enthusiasm, and you're a great guy. I really mean that.
It's I love this community, not just the NetRun community, but the NullSignal Games people as well, that we all do a labor of love for a really worthy cause, I think, keeping NetRun going.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Any last words, folks, before we all tear up a little bit more?
Were we not going to go over website articles? Or?
I'm keeping this in the podcast. Why are we not going to go in there? John, Mike, let's go.
All right. Okay. Well, since the last episode, important announcements that have come out is the Downfall and Uprising Remastered Editions are finally out.
Yay!
It already came out, and by the time this episode drops, the physical cards will be shipping as well. Possibly even have arrived. So we're done with remastering old sets. Great job, everyone.
Great, really.
We had a booth at Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle on this upcoming weekend, as we record, between February 29th and March the 3rd, which will be a few days before you hear this episode. And the Q1 game night kit for 2024 is now available. And for the first time, you're able to buy it through our online store as well for regions that are served by it.
I think what's so exciting about that, Mike, is a change in the way that production happens. And it means that it's compelling for individuals to go, do you know what? I'm going to run a little letter around a tournament. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, oh, I'll get like six of my friends and we'll do a little tournament.
Yeah.
And it's such a change in the way that the game can grow from small little communities. It's incredible work from the production and distribution team. I'm thrilled that this has happened. I think it's more impactful than people realize. I really
do. Yeah, Kevin has been slowly building distribution and production behind the scenes, getting more people in to help out. We've got Drew, we've got Dave, and
we've got Rainbow Monkey. They're doing incredible work in the EU. And then obviously Luke in Australia. The distribution network's phenomenal, and obviously Demas in the UK as well.
Yeah, and hopefully soon officially, possibly by the time this airs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're doing a lot to make the game something that feels like properly accessible and get back on game store shelves and feel like something that you can just get into without needing to do work like sourcing cards from print-on-demand websites or printing your own proxies and spending 2 hours to cut them up.
Not to editorial too much, although, yeah, I will. When I took over as Vice President of Engagement, I had two goals. One of them was to get cards in Waterstones in the UK, and one of them was to get into the Guardian newspaper in the UK. Because I think they're both very good sense checks of the left of sales. If we can get into either of those places, as we used to be, by the way, this is not things we haven't done before as a NetRun community.
Got us into the Guardian.
Shout out to Quinns, and shout out to the fact that I bought my first Android NetRunner corset in Waterstones, a national company. That's my goals. So these kind of small outreach things, they have a big impact, honestly, because you get things on the scale. So thanks, folks. Really exciting times. Oh, have I announced, last thing, we've got a new head of marketing.
Oh yes,
Bushi's taking a breather. Thank goodness. That guy worked so hard on that run. He oh my goodness. That's
great work. Like,
Bushi, you need to sleep. You know,
getting us into like just him talking to people at PAX has done so much for the organization and for Netrunner.
Yeah, incredible. And he's still running Mansion Runner. And he's still in the marketing team, but I would like to give a quick shout out to John. John has been running our conventions for the last few months. He's done an incredible job, and he comes from a gaming background, and he's laid out the next 3 years for Netrunner promotion and marketing, and I'm so excited to introduce the community to him and to see what he's got planned for outreach and engagement.
He's going to do a great job, yeah.
So he's phenomenal. The guy's so good. It's really exciting. One of the things that I wanted to do was find out a little bit more from Ginevra about some game stores in Australia that are stocking Netrunner. Ginevra, have you got one?
Yes, I noticed in Gameology, they're a Victorian store, and they sent, a lot of us would be subscribed to their weekly email news updates. They're now stocking Netrunner, which is really cool to see. I think they've got all of the packs released so far. You can always definitely buy from Luke as well, because he ships from the Null Signal Games shop. It's great to see it going into game stores that people who just want a game are going to, so people don't have to do so much research to figure out how to get hold of it.
Yeah. I mean, I bought Netrunner in 2014 and I started playing inverted commas Netrunner in 2020. So, Mike, how excited does that make you hearing that kind of thing?
The fact that it took you 8 years to start playing since you bought your corset, you mean?
Mate, I still beat you one-on-one, honestly. Lay down the cards. How excited does it make you to hear that, community game shops are now stocking Netrunner, but it's like the hype. It's hype in the gaming community.
It's amazing, and I really hope we get some more soon. I too would love to see Gateway stocked in the store where I bought my first corset too. If we can swing it, but yeah, it's really important that people can just go and look at a box on a shelf and pick it up instead of having to Google online where to even find it. And come across our website and go, who are these people? Are they legit? Is this a phishing site or something?
Yeah.
Even just the visibility of being on store shelves is just really, really rewarding.
And I guess my last question, Mike, what's your favorite ID?
I have to say Geist. I have to say Geist because Geist was the ID that taught me how to run without being scared of net damage and without being scared of break shooting, because your breakers you didn't really care much about. You had a levy or two so you could get the bag anyway, maybe a few clone chips. So it was really the first time when I got over the typical beginner's fear of being too scared to run before you had a full rig. Just because it didn't matter.
No. Adam Main, I agree.
You had to run anyway.
You have to run anyway. Always be running. Mike, thank you ever so much for joining us. Honestly, I'm so glad that you got the opportunity to come on and have a chat about some awesome ice. I mean, it's like really cool ice. Ginevra, Any final thoughts from you?
I am going to enjoy spoiler season. I know this is part of it because I see the cards completely fresh. I know I've seen them. I know I've written some art briefs and everything for them. But once they're together and finished and in their frames, they're a completely new card, and I'm really excited to see them all.
They really feel different when other people outside Melting Pot are looking at them, don't they?
Definitely.
Yeah. There's a special moment. Yeah. Folks, thank you so much for joining. And everyone who's listened to this episode, thank you. I hope you're enjoying Scoop Season. If you have any things you would like to feedback to us, we are available at podcast@nullsignal.games. That is podcast@nullsignal.games. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ginevra.
Thank you. See ya.
And I've been Ed, he, him. Thank you ever so much. You have a lovely evening. Take care.